You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
Mr. Billy Wynn.
Good evening, Westside Church. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. So a few months ago, several of us had an opportunity to hear John Mark Comer teach on solitude. And I went to CJ. I say, CJ, who, John Mark Comer and CJ kind of rival who quotes Dallas Willard more. So they both are like big Dallas Willard. And CJ said, guess what, Billy? The Westside Church has allotted the month of July and August to be on solitude and silence. And since I'm going to South Africa, would you be interested? And gather a group of brothers and sisters who are interested. And so Aaron Henderson, Joe Alonso, and Reese are going to be sharing the next few weeks. And so solitude, and we're going to be using Practicing the Way, their curriculum, and John Mark Comer's lessons, also his podcast. So all these resources will be shared with you later. So this week, week one, we're going to be focusing on the quiet place. And then later on, week two, encounter with ourselves. Week three, encounter with our enemy. And encounter with God is the last one. So Practicing the Way, a lot of us are familiar with it, and we'll again quote that a little bit, the resource that he uses. But right now, let's pray. Let's go to God. Heavenly Father, you're an omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent God who doesn't need an appointment, who doesn't want an appointment, who's always available for us. God, you don't put us on hold. You don't try to call us back later. You want us now. At any moment, we can call upon you through the silence. Even through the noise, God, you're always available. May we take this time seriously and know that solitude is a practice, an ancient practice that the Old Testament characters, that your son Jesus practiced, and is something that we really want to delve deeper into, not only through knowledge, but through practice. We love you, God. We pray this in your son's name. Amen. So as an icebreaker question, in groups of three, discuss with each other, do you look forward to alone time? And when you do, what do you do during your alone time? So just for about 3 to 4 minutes, discuss in groups of three, do you look forward to alone time? And what do you do during that time? Who likes to maybe just sing or dance? Okay, some of you. Who likes to listen to music? Listen to music, okay. Who likes to play video games maybe or read a book? Chuka, I see you over there. So those who, and we have some spiritual folks in here, but power nap, that's a good alone time. So those who listen to music, read a book, you know, alone time is really just alone time because solitude is your intentional time in the quiet with ourselves and God. So why do we need solitude? Well, first off, we live in a very noisy city, right? We live in a city that there's planes going up and down. Yep. Those who live near Westchester, Culver City, we hear delivery trucks, World Cup watch parties. We hear loud music from neighbors, right? In fact, the World Health Organization said it's the second worst environmental toxin after air pollution, beating out oil and gas because it does an impact on our soul and our body. With God, he created us to be in quieter, in soundscapes. Think about when we're in nature, when you go for a walk out of the beach or maybe out the park or something, you only hear maybe the wind rustling or you might hear birds chirping. If you hear something loud in nature, that's probably something not safe, right? It could be a typhoon, it could be a hurricane, it could be an earthquake, it could be something or something, an animal, right? That's ready to devour you, right? So out in nature, God, the loud noises really make us have this fight or flight attitude, right? So God didn't create us just to be in loud. Think about Jesus and the ancient times. I don't think they had that type of loud music. Chuka didn't have like the music that you have at your house, right? So it wouldn't be that loud. But what about the noise of our society? Think about the news alert. Think about social media opinions and more because it disrupts our soul. So what if the greatest threat to Christian faith today is not secularism, or we might call it worldliness, but distraction? Think about when we wake up, do we look for the news alert? Do we look at a social media post? Do we bombard our soul and our mind with those things? Are we distracted so much? Because it is possible for us to go through most of our life and not really experience solitude. Because when we're alone, sometimes we pull out that phone, right? John Mark Comer calls it the rectangle, glowing rectangle of death, right? He calls it that. So we pull out our phones, think about it so many times. I think some of us, we get that weekly update, right, from our iPhone, like how many hours were you on your phone, right? So our devices keep us tethered to this world of noise. And that's the threat to our soul and physical body. So silence, solitude, and stillness is a practice from the way of Jesus that can position you and me to hear God's voice in this noisy city. Guess what it is? It is resistance to the world of noise and distraction. That's what solitude is. So let's look at some Old Testament scriptures. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. The verbs in this scripture right here, he makes, he leads, he restores. King David wrote this towards the end of his kingship. He refers back to his time as a shepherd as when he found the strength. When he was in solitude, he was just among the sheep, right? And so that's when he found, not the wars, not all the crowds cheering. It was actually his time with God out in the open field. The next scripture, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Psalm 46:10. Now, the phrase be still in Hebrew means to let go of your grip. So think about that. Let go of what's pulling you, that's preventing you from being and knowing that God is God. So we're in the quiet, our minds are going to race. There's going to be something that might come up in our mind that's going to pull us away from God. Right? Think about that. What are you holding on to? What are you gripping? And where do you find your security? Elijah, who confronting the prophets of Baal, then being threatened and hunted down by Jezebel, it was out in the wilderness, outside a cave at Mount Horeb, that he heard the gentle whisper of God. God spoke to Elijah not in the wind, the quake, or fire, but in a gentle whisper. Right? That's where he found strength. If you guys know the scriptures, he actually went out there for 40 days in the wilderness after he was hunted by Jezebel, right? Death threats. So what about Jesus? Was this a practice of his? Well, let's read in Luke 5, verse 15 to 16. But the news about him spread even more and more, and large crowds would come together to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. Yet he often withdrew to deserted places and prayed. So Jesus spent a long day healing, preaching, and he was drained. I remember watching an episode of The Chosen where his mom, Mary, was like concerned about him. He was really drained. And so what did he do? He finds strength going. He didn't go and watch Netflix. He didn't go on his phone, right? He actually went out to get refreshed, to be restored, and to be in the quiet with his father. And he went to a place, and the Greek phrase is the eremos, which is the desert, desolate, or wilderness, also known as the quiet place. This is where Jesus went often. And there's a scripture I want to read here in Luke 4, 1. And I was taught early on that Jesus went out, that Jesus was led by the Spirit out to the wilderness. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. That the Spirit led him when he was this weakest point, when he was hungry, when he was all alone. That's what I learned early on. And then after reading and studying solitude a little bit more, he was led by the Spirit. When we fast and pray, and when we're with God in solitude, isn't that the time we find strength? So Jesus actually went out in solitude in the wilderness to find strength so he can fight Satan, right? That he can overcome this temptation. So think about, where do we find strength? Do we find it in things of the world? Sometimes we can actually, even our prayers, we could go to God right away for a list of laundry list of things that we want, rather than just listen and sit still and hear what he has to say. So I'm going to quote some notable Christians here. Mother Teresa says, "We need to find God, and he cannot be found in noise and restlessness. God is the friend of silence." And Dallas Willard, I have to quote Dallas Willard, right? So, "Only solitude and silence can take the world off my back and forever release me from both hurry and loneliness. They open the door to productive engagement with other spiritual disciplines." So think about fasting, prayer, community. Those are the spiritual disciplines, right? Solitude opens those up to deeper waters. And if you look at this photo right here, this is a beautiful person right here who's walking in the redwoods in solitude. And that's my wife, Rose. So you can tell she's like glowing there, right? I had to give her some space so she could be in solitude there. C.S. Lewis says, "We live, in fact, in a world starved for solitude, silence, and private, and therefore starved for meditation and true friendship." You might say, wait, solitude and friendship? But those are the opposite, right? When you go into solitude and stillness and hear God's voice, you have clarity in your life. You have clarity in your friendships, who you are as a person. Henry Nouwen says, "Without solitude, it is virtually impossible to live a spiritual life. We do not take the spiritual life seriously if we do not set aside some time to be with God and listen to him." So read that carefully, right? It is virtually impossible. And other times that Jesus went in solitude, many other times, but when he chose the 12 to be his apostles, after feeding the 5,000, after John the Baptist's death, right, he went into solitude. I remember watching The Chosen, and there were multiple times where the apostles could not find Jesus. Like, where is he? They didn't catch on. Finally, they knew, okay, he went to be with the Father. He went at the instrumental point of this ministry, when he had to make big decisions, or when he was encountering persecution and death, and his disciples were in doubt. So going out in solitude, Jesus actually was gaining strength, and they thought he was abandoning them. But actually watch The Chosen, you'll see there are many times he just disappears, and that's where he is. So, and then the last one I'm going to quote is, do you guys remember The Empire Strikes Back?
Yep.
So Luke goes to Yoda and asks, and there's a cave, right? And Luke asks Yoda, what's inside that cave? And Yoda said, you will find only what you bring in. What does that mean? Well, solitude is what you bring in. What do you bring in solitude? You just bring yourself and God. Right? What do you bring in that would bring solitude? So I want to share this book that John Mark Comer, but I've actually started reading, and I know Erin started reading too, right? Great book. She's a mother of three, and she went through a crisis in her life where she was a doer. She was, I believe, daughter of a pastor. So she was a doer in her life, and she was so burnt out. So her name is Ruth Haley Barton, and she has a book called Invitation to Solitude and Silence. I'm going to read some of her quotes here. "When we sit quietly in God's presence, the sediment, think of a jar with all this dirt, she shakes it around. When we sit quietly in God's presence, the sediment that is swirling in our souls begin to settle." You get clarity. "The most important thing about solitude and silence is just showing up and letting God do the rest. The practice of solitude and silence is radical in our society where productivity is expected." You might be saying, why am I just sitting here for X number of minutes when I should be reading my Bible, I should be praying, I should be going to church? Like, there's a lot of things, good things that we could be doing, right? So the story of Martha and Mary, for many years, I was, if you know me in the church, I was like, but Martha's right. Why does Martha, then I'm like, wait, Mary chose what's better, to be with Jesus rather than doing. I read the Transfiguration, and I was like, the three apostles up there with Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, and Peter wants to put up three shelters. Could have just said, I'm going to soak in this experience. I am with Jesus and these prophets. He wanted to do something. I think sometimes our inclination is we want to do something, right? Just to be still. So some discussion questions right now is, how are you currently practicing solitude, silence, and stillness in your spiritual life? What are some examples of external noises in your life? And what are some examples of internal noises in your life? What do you hope the practice of solitude will add to your life? And then we'll describe solitude a little bit more, but are you already practicing it? And when you do, when you sit still for a little bit, are you an antsy person and try it out for 30 seconds, 1 minute? Some of you can go 5 minutes. Do thoughts flood your mind? Are you tempted to look at your phone? Are you tempted to watch TV? Do you need to have music in the background at all times? Think about sitting in just quiet. What does that do to you? So in groups of three, answer these three questions right here. Are you currently practicing solitude? And what are some external noises and internal noises in your life right now? And what do you think, and what do you hope this practice will lead and add to your life? So for a few minutes, talk to your triad, groups of three around you. So I heard from a few people that once they go into silence for a few minutes, all the thoughts will start flooding their head, from to-do lists to concerns, right? That's natural. And when I first started doing that, I'm a person that, my wife knows this, I like to schedule everything to the minute. So one time we were on vacation, she said, can we just have a day, nothing planned? I'm like, that sounds like a great idea. Yes. So just have a time where, you know what, just sit there. I think of, I was reading Samuel this morning, and I was like, he heard God's voice because he wasn't listening to music. He wasn't playing video games. He actually heard the voice of God. First, he thought it was Eli, right? But he heard the voice of God. So being silent, it might be awkward at first. And you might say, what am I doing? I should be, just be still. And it's a practice. It's going to take some time. And so here's some tips. First off, begin each day with a few minutes of solitude, silence, and stillness. For some, at night might work better, before bedtime, or during a lunch break. If you have kids, if you have loud dogs, you have loud neighbors or loud roommates, just find time that you can do this. Please, when you wake up, don't grab your phone. Unless that's what wakes you up, right? But you're tempted, right? Don't do that. Number two, find a quiet place at home or outside in nature that is distraction-free. Make sure your phone is in another room and sit in a comfortable position. Not too comfortable, Kirk, that you fall asleep, right? So number three, begin to take long, slow, deep breath from your belly all the way up through your lungs. Inhale your nose through your nose and exhale through your mouth. Like a yoga practice, right, Mia? Yep. Okay. Number four, with each inhale, prayerfully welcome the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit into the deepest place within you. You may want to repeat a simple prayer like, come Holy Spirit. This is the one I like. Lord, I'm here. Just like when you're meeting a friend, right? Aaron, I'm here. Hey, nice to meet you at the coffee shop. We made our appointment, our daily appointment. We're here. Number five, visualize the love of the Father being poured out in Christ and into the depth of your being by the Holy Spirit. Or you may want to listen for God's voice and see what comes to mind. Don't force anything. Just be with God. So when you're in the quiet, you're in the stillness, you don't have to come up with a thought. You will, if you have a lot of thoughts, God would just say, I got you. Just be still. I got you. It's going to be okay. Number six, you may want to continue your time in solitude by praying a psalm or reading a story from the gospel or a passage from scripture, or praying over your life, or by journaling to God, follow your heart. So for me, I've been doing it for about a couple months now, and journaling is the next step for me. I feel like this is something, I remember CJ talking about manual journaling, and that's something that I want to get deeper in. God speaking to me. Some other tips, start with where you are now, not where you want to be. So Chuka, tomorrow you want to go 1 hour, Chuka. Make it where you are right now. It could be 30 seconds, Chuka, right? and get to an hour, right? Aim for several minutes of solitude, silence, and stillness, then gradually build on that time. Just show up every day. Solitude is not meant to be learned. It's meant to be practiced. It's a practice, an ancient practice by Jesus and other biblical people. Remember, Jesus was not a hermit, right? Jesus actually went to solitude to get strength, to be with God, and he went back to community. So he found strength with God. Think about when we open the door to go out to the world, we need that time with God. We need to be in that solitude time with God, in prayer time, and also in our scriptures, right? Let solitude with God be the first thing you do in the morning, the last thing you do before you go to sleep. Don't look at your phone, listen to music, podcasts, or even read a book. Let God be your only input. Now, some of you might say, why? I want to listen to a podcast. I want to read a book. When you listen to a podcast or you read a book, you're getting input from other people, right? And so you want God's voice to be the last or the first thing every day. Remember, this is an invitation. God is inviting us to be with him. Be patient with yourself. Some days will be easier. Some days will be harder. Just show up every day. Our God, our Father, our Lord is delighted to be with you. How do you know you're doing well in solitude? You show up again every day. You just show up. You enjoy it so much. And we're going to be, and I told you earlier in the beginning that we're going to be sending out resources for Practicing the Way. There is a video you can watch similar to the lesson today. John Mark Comer actually has some really good jokes that I can't deliver, but so you can watch the video with your small group. This will be sent so the weeks that we don't meet here, your small group can watch the video. There'll be some discussion question. We'll have the small group leaders get onto the website, and they'll invite all the members. So you will receive an email from your group leader. Log on, and then all the group members can get into the companion guide, can access the questions and watch the videos. There's also podcasts available too. He shares this amazing story about Martin Luther King that he can tell so much better than me, but it was a pivotal point in Martin Luther King's civil rights movement that he actually heard God's voice and it really changed the trajectory of everything. So before we end here, does anyone have any questions? Because in 2 weeks, Reese and Joel are going to talk about encountering or the encounter with self. You're going to learn a lot about yourself. This is a 2-month journey, but actually really a life journey for us to practice solitude. And we're going to have some of you who are doing this in the last session. We're going to have you share what works for you. How are you meeting God? How are you drawing close to God in this way? So this practice, I love it. It's actually the first thing I do in the morning, in the quiet before my wife wakes up with a cup of coffee. And it's actually probably my favorite. Sorry, honey, to say this, but it's okay. Just 1A, and she's 1B. 1A, 1B, favorite time of the day, just to be with God. Because she knows that I love her deeply because I love God deeply in that way. So please practice this tomorrow. By the end of August, I think our church, we practice this deeply. We're going to be like Moses coming down with radiant faces. Really, you can tell when someone's been with God, right? Their eyes light up. They have a giving heart and a giving spirit. All the spiritual practices, disciplines, really, really, I think, and John Mark does share this, community and solitude are probably the two most important spiritual disciplines. So if you have any questions, you can talk to me. Aaron's been doing Practicing the Way with his group for a while. So, but thank you, church, for allowing me to share today. And again, solitude is really a way of Jesus. And it's not another, main thing, it's not another to-do thing. Just want to let you know that. It's actually a subtraction. We're taking things away, the noise of the world, our distraction. So it is not a to-do, you have to do. It is actually, I get to be with the Father every day. So thank you, church, and that's it.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.